About a little over a month ago, Kim and I had the blessing to go out to Memphis to visit with Josh and Danielle and their family. And while we were there, it was nap time for Samuel and Verity, so I asked Harvey if he wanted to go to the post office with Papa, because I needed to mail something. So we rode there, and Harvey, he'll be six next month. He's growing up. And so we were there at the counter, just the two of us in with the postal clerk, and we finished doing what we needed to do, and then I picked him up. And the postal clerk, she looked at Harvey, and she said, "You're too big to be carried." And my response was, "Not when Papa's in town." You see, now I don't go around carrying almost six-year-olds as a general rule, but when it's my grandson, you know, hey, I'm all about picking him up, whether he's six or one or anywhere in between. I'm ready to do that. Now, when he's 26, that might be another story. But anyway, maybe I'll be in good a shape as Mr. Masters. I'll still be able to pick him up when I'm that old. But, you know, family makes a lot of difference. And we're talking about one anothering this year. We've been looking at the different commands of the Lord concerning our relationship with each other as believers. And we're finding those in the New Testament epistles today. We're going to be, again, in the book of Galatians. If you were here last Sunday morning, you know that we looked at chapter 5 and saw several challenges there regarding what we should and what we should not do for one another. The first four chapters of the book of Galatians are primarily doctrinal in nature. And when you come to chapter 5 and chapter 6, you find Paul, by the Spirit of God, emphasizing the practical application of the doctrinal teaching of the first four chapters. So last week we saw in chapter 5 and verse 13 that we're to serve one another. Serve one another. And we're going to come out of that this morning with another one anothering command that we find in chapter 6, and that's we or to bear one another's burden. So let's just read, if we could, to start out with. We're going to just look here at the first five verses in chapter 6 of Galatians. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Bear one another's burdens. I want to tell you a story this morning. The story of one another and the three bears. Okay, you ready for that? One another and the three bears. And I hope it's not too corny or too juvenile for you, but I'm going to tell the story really through our time together this morning. So we're going to be asking three questions about bearing one another's burdens. Oh, they're the three bears, by the way. There they are. So just remember them because they'll, you know, you won't see them again. But here's the first question, the first bear. What does it mean to bear burdens? What does that mean? If we're to bear one another's burdens, what does that mean to bear burdens? Well, first of all, we'll ask the question, what constitutes a burden? You know, as we read, and particularly if you are using the King James, I'm reading out of the New King James, but if you're reading out of the King James, you might have noticed there in verse 2 the challenge to bear one another's burdens, and then you noticed in verse 5 that everyone should bear his own burden, or as we have in the New King James, their own load. Well, the reason that this is not a contradiction, this is one of those many passages that sometimes skeptics will point to and say, well, here's a contradiction in the Bible. You're to carry other people's loads, but then you're to carry your own load. So how is that? How does that work? Well, there are two different words in the Greek, and in the New King James and some other translations note that by using a different word. So the first word that we have here in verse 2, the idea of bearing one another's burdens, That word burden there is a word that really means an excessive weight. An excessive weight. In other words, it's more than the person would be normally expected to carry. But then in verse 5, the word that is translated burden in the King James, but load in the New King James, is a different word. And that word it notes a burden as an appropriate load. In the book of Acts, we read about Paul being on a ship on his way to Rome, and we read about the cargo that was on that ship, and that's the word load there. It's the what you would expect to be on that ship. It was not an excessive amount. It was what the ship was designed to carry. And in the Greek, sometimes this second word here in verse 5 was also used to talk about a soldier's pack. It was what the soldier would be expected to carry. A normal load under the circumstances is what we find here in the second passage. So when we're to bear one another's burdens, I'm not called to bear what God has called you in your life and ministry to carry as a normal load for you. He's not telling me that I need to carry that for you. And he's not telling you that you need to carry that for me. But we find from verse 2 that there are those circumstances in life where we end up with a load that is excessive. It's beyond what we can carry. Now, I know some of your minds may be going to 1 Corinthians 10:13, and you're saying, well, we're promised there in 1 Corinthians 10:13, but that the Lord will never put on us more than we can bear up under. And that's very true. But have we stopped to think that if this is God's command in verse 2 to bear one another's burdens, have we stopped to think that maybe that way of escape that we read about in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that you and I may be part of that way of escape for a fellow believer? In other words, this brother, this sister has such an excessive weight, burden upon them, and you look at them and you say, hey, brother, praise God, he won't put more on you than you can bear. And you're telling a truth. You're making a proper statement when you say that. But maybe it is that God is calling you as a brother or sister in Christ to come alongside of that fellow believer, that one another, and to be a part of bearing that burden. Yes, we cast our cares on the Lord. Yes, He is willing and able and is going to carry us through. But sometimes His design is to use you and to use me. We're a body. We are members of one another, according to Romans 12 and verse 5. And there's a challenge here. The Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. You know, what God calls you to do as an individual in service for Him is just exactly right for you. But we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that's full of sin. We will live in a world that is difficult. We live in a body that is getting older and is wasting away, though inwardly we're being renewed day by day. We live in a culture where many burdens are being thrown upon us and we don't want them. But they're there. And we have excessive weights. And God is calling us to minister to one another. Here's a picture of two women, and they're carrying a burden. They're going from a Spanish enclave across the line into Morocco, and if they carry these, if a woman carries it across, they don't have to pay any tax. And so these women do this, many of them, all their lives, and that's what I would call an excessive weight. I don't know if I could carry that. I don't know if some of you guys could carry that. That's just a picture of what some of us are under, and maybe in a greater degree than we realize, maybe most of us are under. Maybe all of us are under. You may be sitting there right now, and you're looking at that picture, and you're saying, that's me. Nobody knows it. Nobody sees it, but that's me. I'm bearing burdens today that people don't know about, and I'm under that weight. What are some real life burdens that people carry? Let me just kind of run through some of these quickly, and you can think of others. You know, there are spiritual burdens. There's a temptation to sin, and there are those ongoing temptations that we battle with. Here in verse 1 of our passage, we read about a man who was overtaken in a trespass. And there are those who were under the burden of temptation. There are those who were under the burden of guilt from past sin. There are those who were under the burden of a recently exposed sin in his or her life. There are those who were under the burden of a habitual secret sin, much like I just referred to. There are those who are burdened down by the consequences of past sin. There are those who were struggling with doubt. There were those who were burdened because they've been praying about something and it seems like God's not answering. There are those who are under the heavy load of ministry responsibilities which seem too great for them, and maybe it's because another part of the body is not carrying the weight that they should. There are those who are burdened because they are striving in the flesh rather than in the spirit to do the will of God. There are those who were under the spiritual burden of the discipline and chastening that is coming into their lives. Those who are battling because they are under testing and trials and they feel like it's too much for them to bear. There are those who have questions about things spiritually. There are those here this morning who were under mental burdens, and they're carrying around a large weight of regret. There are others who are battling with misunderstanding about themselves or about others. There are those who are confused. There are ones who are paranoid. There are some who are depressed, and it's a heavy weight. There are those who have an excessive weight of worry and anxiety, a sense of failure in their minds, and they're carrying that. And you look around and you can't see it like you can with those two women with those loads on their back, but it's just as real and it's just as heavy. It's just as burdensome. There are those in our fellowship who have emotional burdens. Some are sad beyond the normal experience of sadness. Some are going through times of deep sorrow. Others are burdened with anger, scars from past trauma. There are those who battle the heaviness of loneliness or disappointment. Some are struggling with a burden of embarrassment or humiliation or shame. There are those who carry around a weight, as it were, on their emotions of fear, of weakness, of hopelessness. And we have people that have physical burdens, but they're ones that are not necessarily seen. They may include physical limitations or chronic pain. There are those battling a terminal illness or just the issues of aging or some special need physically. There are those who are under the burden of relational issues. In the marriage, conflicts with friends, children who are rebelling against them and or rebelling against God. Disagreements within the family, unsaved family members, out of fellowship with God family members, family members who have special needs. There are those who are carrying around the burden of feeling rejected, even by those who claim to love them. There are those who have been abandoned. There are those who have the burden of unmet expectations, unmet needs in their lives. There are those who are carrying the burden of parenting children on their own. There are those who are going through different transition periods of life. There are those who have a great burden on their hearts, juggling the responsibilities of family and work and church and community and their own mental and emotional health. There are burdens. There are those who are carrying financial burdens. There are those who have lost their jobs. There are those who are looking for jobs. There are those who were in a job, but they know that they need a different job or a better job. There are those who are overworked in the job that they do have. There are people who have gotten themselves in debt, maybe by their own mistakes or maybe by something out of their control. There are those who are being mistreated in the workplace. There are people carrying burdens, and they're right here in these pews, and it's probably you and me in some way or the other. And we're carrying those burdens. And we need someone to come alongside and to help us by a purposeful action to pick up that burden. We're told to bear one another's burdens. That word bear means to pick it up and carry it. You see, it includes a purposeful action by which one believer aids another believer who is struggling under the weight of a heavy burden. It means recognizing that burden and asking, what do I need to do to help? If you read the Lord of the Rings trilogy or watched the movie version, in that last section of the trilogy, as Frodo carrying that ring of power, and he's the only one that can carry that ring, and he's got to get it all the way to Mount Doom and throw it down into that abyss. And he's the only one that can do it, but he's got a team, and they're working together, the Fellowship of the Ring, and they're working together, but as they go, different perils strike different ones down or set them aside. And finally, at the end, it's just Frodo and his friend Sam. And so they're working their way, and they get almost there, and they're to the mountain, and both of them are just exhausted, and Frodo particularly, from all of the physical and emotional and mental struggle that he's been under from carrying that ring. And finally, he can't go another step. He can't even stand up. Sam encourages his friend, "You've got to do it. You're the only one that can do it. Mr. Frodo, you've got to get up." Finally, Sam realized that his friend was not going to be able to get up. And Sam said, "Mr. Frodo, I may not be able to carry the ring, but I can carry you." And he picked him up, put him over his shoulder, and carried him up that mountain that Mr. Frodo could throw that ring into the fire. There's some people out there that are like Mr. Frodo, and they're sitting in these pews, and we need one another. Can I ask you this question this morning? Will you ask the Lord to burden your heart for other believers who are carrying excessive burdens? Even if you're one of the ones carrying excessive burden, we're still commanded. We're not excused. Just because our burden is heavy, it doesn't excuse us from obeying this command. We all are responsible for each other. But it's going to start with a burden. I can read the verse, and I can say amen, and I can close my Bible and go on. Unless the Lord burdens my heart, unless I'm open to that burden, that I'm going to be so involved in the lives of others that I'm going to be willing to suffer for them. So will you ask the Lord, even while you sit here in quietness, will you ask the Lord to burden your heart for other believers who are carrying excessive burdens in their lives right now? Well, the second bear we want to look at is this. The question, how can we be prepared to bear burdens? You know, there are certain things that we can do in life. And you know, and if you ask me, "Hey Mark, you want to go play golf tomorrow?" And so let's say we're going to go play golf. I hadn't played golf in years. So I could go and I could play golf. I could get the club out and I could hit the ball. But don't you think it would be a lot better if I got prepared? If I went at least to play putt-putt or something, or maybe to the driving range or something. Get prepared. I'm going to do a lot better. You know, when you get a new job, you get prepared. You go through training of some sort so that you'll be able to do that job better. How can I be better prepared to bear burdens? I think our passage here provide some insight into some qualities and conditions that characterize those who are going to be most successful at bearing the burdens of fellow believers. I can just run up and help grab the burden, but if I'm prepared, I'm better off. Most commentators will tie together at least verses 1 and 2, and most of the time, all five of these verses that we read. And so we're going to look at them, and we're going to draw out very quickly just some characteristics and conditions that can characterize us better if we're going to truly bear the burdens of others. First of all, notice there in verse 1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, and maybe this was a burden he was carrying, and it overtook him, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. You who are spiritual. Now, I know when we read that verse, I don't know what comes to your mind, but I know something comes to your mind. What it means to be spiritual. It's interesting as you look at the word in the Greek, and then you work your way back into the context of chapter 5, the second part of chapter 5. You remember what that was about? We looked at it last week. It was all about the Spirit of God. We find the same root word there as we find that we're to walk by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit rather, as we're to be led by the Spirit, as we're to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. And the one who is spiritual is the one who is walking in the Spirit, the one who is being led by the Spirit, the one in whose life is being evidenced the fruit of the Spirit as a result of being led by the Spirit and leaning on the Spirit and living in the Spirit. Now, we know that there are levels of spirituality, if you want to call it that. It's not that just you're either unspiritual or you're spiritual. But the more spiritual I am, in the sense of Galatians 5, the more that I'm walking in the Spirit, the more that I'm in the Word of God and allowing the Spirit of God to work that into my life and into my mind and to shape me and to make me more like the Lord Jesus, the more that I'm allowing the Spirit of God to evidence the life of Christ through those attributes that are the fruit of the Spirit, the more that I'm doing that, the more prepared I'm going to be to help others carry their burdens. In that same verse, there's the characteristic of gentleness. You who are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of gentleness. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23 shows us that gentleness is one of the ninefold aspects of that fruit of the Spirit. But he brings that out particularly here because when we go to help a brother or sister who is struggling under a burden, we're going to be much more successful if we go in gentleness. Whether that's your normal nature or personality or not, is to be the fruit of the Spirit. And we're to approach them in a sense of gentleness, not harshness. And then there's humility. We find that also in verse 1. Notice how he goes on to finish this challenge to be restoring, to be mending this one. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You see, if I'm going to help a brother carry his burden, I need to go not in pride thinking, hey, look at me. I'm the burden helper. I'm the burden bearer. Look at me. No, it's not about that. You see, I could be under the burden too. And I may be, and just like this restoration of the brother in verse 1, and the one who goes to that brother and seeks to be a part of restoring him needs to be one who goes in humility and says, I'm susceptible too. I could fall prey to that. But by the grace of God, just because I haven't fallen yet or recently doesn't mean that I'm above being overtaken in a fault, in a trespass, in a transgression, under a burden. We also find love. Notice there in our text verse, verse 2, we're commanded to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, you can look all through the New Testament and you can look all through the Old Testament and you will never find this phrase, the law of Christ, mentioned again. It's the only place it's mentioned. So we ask ourselves, what is the law of Christ? It's really interesting because what's the book of Galatians all about? You're not under law. You're not under law. There is no flesh that will be justified by the works of the law. You will never be right before God. You will never be forgiven of your sins by keeping the law of God or by doing anything. Because the Lord Jesus has already met the requirements of the law, and He has gone to the cross of Calvary, and He has died for you. He has taken your punishment. He has died for your sins, and He's been raised again that you could be declared right before God. And if you believed on the Lord Jesus, then you're a new creation in Christ. You're not going to earn that by keeping the law, but here we have the law of Christ. Now, there are different perspectives on what that law is. Some would say that it's everything that He taught and lived while He was here upon the earth, and even beyond that, everything that He taught through the writers of the New Testament letters. But I think that we can take all of that, and just as the Lord Jesus, when asked what the greatest commandment was, He said, love, didn't He? He said, here's the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And He went on to give them the second greatest. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The Lord Jesus told His disciples there in the upper room on that night in which He was betrayed in John 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. We read in John 15, verses 12 and 13, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So I would suggest that loving one another, that we've already looked at, loving one another is in some sense lived out in this idea of bearing one another's burdens. And then there's honesty. In verses 3 and 4, here's where He really comes in with the Spirit of God to bring conviction. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You know, before, as I have looked at these verses, I've always looked at them just individually. Okay, here's verse 1. Now He's changing topics, verse 2. Here's a different subject, verse 3. But in studying this, I've realized that, no, this is, He says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something. Am I deceiving myself by thinking that I'm something that I'm not? Am I deceiving myself but by thinking that I'm bearing the burdens of others when I'm really not? Am I deceiving myself by comparing myself with someone else and looking and say, well, they're bearing burdens at this level. I know I'm doing more than they are. Am I deceiving myself by thinking I'm spiritual or gentle or humble when I'm really not? He says, examine your own work. And then you'll have rejoicing in yourself alone. Not that you're bragging on yourself, but no, I see that I'm being obedient to the Lord Jesus and I'm allowing His life to be lived out through me. And it's by His grace that I'm being able to minister to others and to try to help them and bear their burdens. God has given me that responsibility. And I think that that's a part of this too. Because as verse 5 says, I'm to bear my own load. And part of my load is to help you bear your excessive load. That's part of my responsibility. And that's part of your responsibility. I can't bear everyone's excessive load. Neither can you. But we can all come together and be a part of that. So we just ask ourselves the sensible, obvious question, which of these attributes need to be developed in my life? Which of these attributes? And that's a question for each one of us to look at. And say, am I serious? Do I have a burden to help others bear burdens in their lives? If so, which of these do I need to work on? Maybe all of them. Maybe all of them. Well, here's our last bear. What are practical ways to bear burdens? How can we put this into practice? What does this look like? Here you see four young fellas bearing a burden together. They could have just let one of the guys do it, but no, they all four, they got in there, so they knew practically how to help bear that burden. Get a big, long, strong stick and put it through and help carry, and we'll all be in step and we'll work together. But what about us? What do we need to do? What are some practical ways that we can bear burdens together? I'm going to very quickly look at these. I've got a few principles just to keep in mind. These are kind of some background things to be aware of. First of all, to understand that every believer has burdens. Every believer is carrying something. They may or may not be willing to allow us to find out what that is or how we can help them, but we need to know that you're not the only one with burdens. Here's another principle. Be willing to have others help me. I had a sister come up to me after the meeting last week. I appreciate it. We're talking about serving one another. And she said, you know, sometimes the problem is the person doesn't want to let us serve. And I thought, isn't that true? Isn't that true? And, you know, sometimes we're not willing to let others help us carry. No, I'll help you. I'll help you bear your burden, but I don't want anybody to help me carry mine. You know, what's really at the bottom of that is pride, isn't it? Pride. I don't need anybody to help me. I can do it on my own. I'm super Christian. I can handle this with the Lord, but we're forgetting when we say that the Lord's design is for the body to be His instruments. He tells us to bear one another's burdens. He doesn't say, if anybody won't let me handle it, then you jump in there and help them. No. He's saying, I want to use you. You're an instrument in my hand. Another quick principle, don't be a burden binder. What did the Lord Jesus say in Matthew 23 and verse 4 about the Pharisees and the scribes? For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders. If we're not careful, we can not only fail to help bear burdens, we can actually be someone who's putting burdens on people. They were doing it by adding extra rules to what God had said. You might even say they had a good intention in doing that, but they weren't doing it according to God. But there are other ways that we can be a burden binder. By our own attitudes, our own lives, we can actually put some of these excessive burdens on people by the way that we act, the same things that we say. That brings us to the truth that burden bearing is a team effort. We've got to do it together. We already mentioned that. Burden bearing, I did want to mention this, is not enabling. Now, we want to be careful that we don't go and take all of the consequences away from someone if they make a poor choice and say, well, I got to bear their burden and got to make it okay for them, and then they just go back out and make the same poor decision again. No, we need to be led by the Spirit. We need to be directed by Him in helping them work through this. A burden bearing will take your shape. Now, what I mean by that is that more than likely, your God-given personality and your God-given spiritual gift are going to shape the way that you will help others bear their burdens. We're going to run through a quick list in just a moment, but just keep that in mind. And then also know that burden bearing requires sacrifice. So here, real quickly, here's some ways we can do it. Listen. Sincerely listen to someone as they talk about their struggles. Go and ask them a question and then listen. And you don't even have to say anything, not initially at least. Let them share what they're going through. But then when the appropriate time comes, have some words of encouragement, some words of comfort, maybe even some words of humor. It's a good medicine, we read in the book of Proverbs. Something that can help them bear up under that burden. Whether you might not be able to take the burden away, but you can pick up part of that and help carry it. Sharing appropriate scriptures. Again, being in the Word of God yourself, taking those scriptures that God has used to minister to you and others have shared with you, and then you go and you be ready to share those with someone else. Pray for and pray with those who are going through a difficult time. They have a heavy burden, asking, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you right now? Can I pray for you? What are the needs in your life? Maybe it's something that requires some material assistance. Maybe it's a tool that they need. Maybe it's some money to help them through a difficult time. We can give materially. We can share our own experience. We can share our own testimony, how God brought us through a difficulty, how we understand to some degree what they're going through. We can try to answer their questions. We can remove some of the duties off their plate, possibly, by helping them. We can seek to teach them and instruct them. Maybe there's an area where they're immature and they need to learn. Sometimes we just need to be there, just to be with them and let them know that we care. When appropriate, physical touch, a hand on the shoulder, a hug. And then to empathize with them, to seek to feel what they feel. Just some practical ways to help people bear burdens. Can you do these things? I look out in this audience and I think, yes, everything on this list, everybody in this room could do to some degree to help someone who's carrying a burden. So what commitment will you make right now to bear the burdens of one another? It's our responsibility. Back in 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary he led the first team to go all the way to the top of Mount Everest. And he had a Sherpa guide with him whose name was Pinzvik Norgay. And as they began their descent down the mountain, Edmund Hillary's foot slipped and he lost his balance so that he fell completely. But Norgay, the Sherpa guide, had taken his pick and jammed it into the ice. And because of the rope that was holding them together, he was able to keep hold of Sir Edmund Hillary until Hillary was able to make his way over and grab hold of the mountain again. Otherwise, he would have fallen about 1,000 feet to his death. And when they got down to the bottom, everybody wanted to make Norgay a hero. But he said, no, 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 I'm not a hero. Mountain climbers are tied to one another to help each other. That's just who we are. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we are tied together. We are members of one another, like it or not. And when a brother or a sister has an excessive weight, we can turn our eyes away. We can look the other way. But in doing so, we're being disobedient to the Lord's command to bear one another's burden. So we're going to close in prayer, and as we do, I'm just going to ask you to answer the question. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment between you and the Lord that by grace, that you are going to reach out in a certain way to a certain person, and you're going to try to prepare yourself in a certain way. And then David, if you'd just play us one verse of a hymn and continue to meditate on that as we seek to reach out to each other. Father, we thank you for bearing our burdens. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who took the burden of our sin upon himself there at Calvary, a burden that no one else could bear, a burden that he did not deserve, and yet he took that upon himself. We could not stand under the burden of our own sin, but thank you for the Lord Jesus who took it all upon himself, who died for our sins and rose again. And Father, I pray for each one here this morning that has believed on the Lord Jesus, that we will recognize that we are tied together. We are part of your body. Father, I thank you for the many here who do already bear burdens for one another. Father, I praise you for that. And Lord, may each of us be even more sensitive about the needs that are around us. And we just ask this, praying that you will show us what you want us to do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.